Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 474. We talked about Bilaam's confusion and mistake and punishment for the fact that he ridiculed or wondered about why it would be important for HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself to count the unions that husbands and wives, Jewish couples, engage intimately with one another. He couldn't understand how this very physical act, the physicality of it, is only half of the act, half the picture, combined with the other half of the picture that he couldn't comprehend, which is the spiritual connection, emotional connection factor that he couldn't comprehend. And according to the Gemara, that's why he was blinded in that one eye. There is another pshat that Bilaam was blinded from that one eye from birth. The Baal Shem Tov seems to view it as such. And the way the Baal Shem Tov explained is because Bilaam was a Rasha. He used his eye that he was able to see in terrible, terrible ways, looking at the worst things possible. Ayin Ra, in general, evil eye, and he saw disgusting things. How was he able to say such nevuah, like Matayiv Oyelech Alay Yaakov? And the Baal Shem Tov explains that's why he was blinded. He was born blind in one eye. It was through that eye he saw nevuah, because that eye was never contaminated, because it was blind from birth. That's according to the Mahalach, that he was blind from birth. Bilaam's ideology that the physical and spiritual are separate from one another. Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, the famous Greek philosopher, felt the same way. He basically said that both in the case of food and that of drink and that of marital relationships, there's a self-indulgence that's connected to it, that's shared by the senses. And this self-indulgent is a matter of reproach for human beings because it attaches us not as men, but as animals. The Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam, quotes this. He quotes Aristotle saying that this chush, hamishush, which means the sensual pleasures, cherpalanu, is a shame, is an embarrassment. Now, the Rambam quotes this, but as we explained when we did the Kuntres of Kedushas Yisrael by Rabbi Sher, the Rambam himself does not espouse this view. It's proven from other areas of the Rambam. Mor Nevuchim Perek Mem Tes is one case where he makes it very clear that it's not an inherently negative thing. It's when you run after it, when you're obsessed with it, when you overindulge in it, that's when it becomes problematic, just like when you overeat, which is a Maisa Behema, Achila Gasa. But if you're Mechavin the right way, then you're serving Hashem and you're holy. The Rambam holds this way. But he does quote in Mor Nevuchim that concept, that the Chush HaMishush, this very actual sensual desire that Hashem put in us, is an embarrassment and is a disgrace. But we don't espouse to it. The Ramban strongly opposes that view. And the Maharal in Baragoyla does as well. Aristotle, by the way, was not a particular ethical person. It's a famous, well-known story. They said this about him. Some say it's attributed to Aristotle, but some use this. There's a philosopher, Russell Brand, that he was... they said about Russell Brand, but some people attribute it to Aristotle, but it applies to both. Basically, he was a philosopher also that taught ethics and mathematics, and they did really disgusting things. Aristotle was in his real life fell into those things that he said. He said that it's we have to reproach ourselves. He himself was indulging in these things. They even say it's brought down that he died because he was obsessed with a wife of someone else's wife to the point that he got sick from it and he died from that. You know, yearning of that. that is brought down, the Yaris Dvash, which is Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshutz, Chelek Aleph Drush Gimel, brings this. He says, Afel Aristo Hishes, Boyd B'Yaris Gam Eslam, that he meditated, and he was one of the wisest men. And he tried his best to separate from physical pleasures. But before his death, he sort of was entrapped with an imaginary, you know, fantasy obsession. And he died from that aspect of it. And so he wasn't a particularly moral person. And with Russell Brand, I think they asked him when they caught him doing these despicable things, and that the students were disturbed. They said, you know, teacher, you're teaching us ethics. You're teaching us morality, and you're behaving the opposite of that in a terrible way. So he responded, I also teach mathematics, but that doesn't mean I'm a square. Doesn't mean I'm a circle. So you can teach ethics, and doesn't mean I'm necessarily have to practice it either. So that is the split that Aristotle had, this Russell Brand and others. They didn't understand that when a husband and wife are physically intimate, their emotional connection elevates the act. And if they don't believe that, or if people don't infuse as human beings the emotional connection to that act, then you regard it as self-indulgent, undignified for human beings, animalistic for animals. That physical intimacy is animalistic for animals because they don't equate, they don't connect. They don't connect the physicality with the emotional connection. And what's sad is that this teaching of Bilam, of Aristotle, has been broadly accepted by Christianity up to the present day. Now, the truth is, I did some research. In America, Americans' Christianity, in the last 20 years or so, they're starting to recognize their error. They're fighting back against their own culture, which will give them a little problems because a lot of their writings are like that. So how they're going to reconcile it is going to be problematic for them. But it seems like Hashem is opening up their eyes to prepare way for Mashiach and to recognize what the truth actually is, where they're rebelling against this now. Most of the world, I think in Europe, is still the same. But for centuries and centuries and centuries, Christianity had this concept. In their holy days, they refrained from intimate relations because in their view, the physical act is a contradiction to holiness. This attitude is the opposite in the Torah. For us, the act is sacred. The act is sacred. You have one exception to the rule by us in the Torah. The one exception is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the only one day, Midairaisa, Midrabbanan, it's Tisha B'Av too. But Midairaisa, only Yom Kippur, V'nisem es nafshei seichem, that over here, you act purely like a malach. Therefore, all the five inuyim, not the eating, not drinking, not anointing, and not wearing the leather, and the washing of the hands, and no washing, and no intimate relations. So one day a year, yes, you remove yourself from it completely. That's the avodah of Yom Kippur. But with the exception of Yom Kippur, the rest of the time, it's not a contradiction. Similar to like when Miriam misunderstood what Moshe did when he separated from Tzipira, because by Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov it didn't. Moshe was the sole exception. So in their holy days, they separate. But over here, we don't say that. Again, with the exception of Yom Kippur, which has a separate Avodah. But Shabbos, extremely holy day, in a sense even more holy than Yom Kippur, right? There's a Chiyuv. The purposeful with witnesses punishment is more severe on Shabbos than Yom Kippur. It's manifested in Kriyas HaTorah. When it's Shabbos, it's 7 aliyas. When it's Yom Kippur, it's 6. And then Yom Tov 5, Chol HaMoed 4. Otherwise 3, right? So Yom Kippur is lower in that sense. Shabbos is higher. And there's a mitzvah of Einik Shabbos. What's Einik Tach? Einik Shabbos. Or Chaim. Paskins, Simon Resh Pei, Tashma Shamita Mitanuge Shabbos Hu. The physical relations is part of the pleasure of Shabbos. That's why the Einis Talmud Chacham is Milel Shabbos, right? So And same thing, Yontif. Yontif, the same thing. Shark Avonis and Drushe Pesach, Drush Gimel, says, Mashen Kibasha Yontif, Shuhutra Zivig Elenu, Va'adrabi Yesh Chiev Aina. There's a Chiev Aina. Every Yontif, there's a Chiev Aina. Now, there are exceptions in Kabbalah. So, one of them is Leil Pesach. The idea behind the Leil Pesach is because the Zivig is taking place on its own then. Leil Shavuos is another one because the Zivig doesn't take place up above until the day when Matan Torah takes place. Whatever the Kabbalistic reasons why on specific Yomim Tovim, Alpi Kabbalah, the Mishnah Berurah brings it down, where people tend to refrain. I think it's the 2 days Rosh Hashanah, and it's the Leil Seder, it's Leil Shavuos, I think Shmini Atzeres as well. But other than that, by Yontif, it's encouraged, according to the Arizal. But by Christians, it's not so. They separate the holiness from physicality completely. That's why in the Catholics, the pure Catholics, they don't marry. Because that's the opposite of the Judaism's view. A Kohen Gadol, who performs the Avodah on Yom Kippur, the holiest Avodah of the year, he must be married. He must be married. So you see how it's a different concept altogether in Judaism than in Christianity. They despise this concept of marriage and mishpacha as a necessary evil, because to be holy you have to separate. That is their view. But Lo Kein Ruach Das Yisrael, by Jews, it's not that way. That is not that way. The connection between a man and a woman in Judaism is a means to reach the highest levels of Kedusha. That is why the mirrors were beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ones that the women donated, the ones they beautified themselves to make themselves attractive to their husbands. Those were beloved by Hashem. And it's brought down in a Sefer Miftzar Yisrael, Ki das Tairehi she'ein Adam nasa letar ki ma'idei ha'nesuin. Person does not reach a purity except through marriage. So this all sees, you see here, that this concept, for the most part, of separating yourself from these type of things, that's to be holy, you have to do that. That stems from Christianity, foreign influences. There is a specific Jewish approach for individuals, and only in under rare circumstances where it could possibly be a form of Avodas Hashem. It'd be a very, very high plane, and both husband and wife needs to be so. But for 99% of us, it is not the case. The famous Gemara story, Rakan enters Rav's room, hid beneath his bed. Okay, we're not going to go into this much, but just the Gemara itself. And the Rav seemed to be very much engaged, and he said, what are you doing? And Kahana, you have to leave here. It's not proper. He says, it's Torah. I need to learn it. And so we're not going to go deep into, we don't understand the ways of the Tanoim, the Amiroim, and how that worked. And again, they're in a different level altogether than us, you know, so we can't comprehend it. We would look at this and say, it's, you know, what's going on here? So that's why we have to be very careful when we learn these Gemaras, or we're aware of these Gemaras, to know how to approach it properly with a Derech Eretz. But it is clear, the one thing that is clear, you see from Rashi there, you see from the Farshim there, that this idea of being very interested physically and having a simcha there and having a chiyas there and an excitement there and a joy there in the intimate act is an integral part of being a Yid. It's an integral part of Torah. It's an integral part of Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. No different than when you're learning Gemara and you're trying to figure out a sugya, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. No different than when you're shaking a little of an esrog, you're keeping the dalamina, you're excited about the mitzvah, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, or the first ner of Chanukah, or the last ner, Zeis Chanukah, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. When you dance on Simchas Torah, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. And when a husband and wife are enjoying each other in the bedroom, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. No different. Bracha and Hatzlacha.